Good morning, everybody. Welcome to day four, I think, or 14. I can't tell anymore. I've still got a few people coming in. This is a 45-minute session where we're going to talk about communicating on your terms and how Teams work and the Microsoft's vision for that and Office 365. But what I'm also very, very excited about is we have one of our great customers from the UK, and Steve Collier joining me today to talk about how they've actually done it there and how they use Skype and Yammer and groups to do that. So my name is Angus Florence. I am not Katie Dundas, who had to switch out at the last minute. I'm part of the Yammer product marketing team based in San Francisco, as you can tell by my accent. And Steve, do you want to introduce yourself?
So hi, I'm Stephen Collier. I'm a lead technical architect at Marks & Spencer. I'm responsible for what we call end user compute. But really, I'm kind of the Office 365 guy in the company. So I think the way this session is going to work is Angus is going to take you through Microsoft's vision and do some demos of how the products work. And then I'll come back and I'll explain our own experience of using both Yammer and groups across Marks & Spencer. And hopefully, we'll leave plenty of time for any questions that you guys have got.
Cool. So just before I begin, who here uses both groups in Outlook and Yammer and Skype in your organization today? Amazing. And has the sky fallen down with giving your users choice, or is it excellent? Excellent, cool. So what I want to talk about briefly is just give some brief background about how Microsoft envisions collaboration for a lot of our customers, what we've seen in the market, and what we're going to be doing. I will do a brief demo about how a team would work in Outlook and how a team would work in Yammer. But again, I want to spend the majority of the time letting Stephen tell his story. And then obviously, hopefully, this question about the which tool when or what's the tool I should be deploying or my users will get confused is I've been asked it at the booth 100 times this week and about 10,000 times in the last 12 months. So hopefully you guys have lots of questions and we can answer those between myself and Steve today as well. So we all know, and it's been pretty evident throughout this whole conference that work has changed and is continuing to change every day. Everything's moving faster. If you compare to how we used to work even 10, 15 years ago, we were much more siloed, much more sort of single task focused. We had a single role to do. Whereas today, in the modern world that we work in, we have people distributed around the world. We have, with the constant changing of conditions outside our organization, we constantly need to be evolving and be responsive and adapt to that. And so, we need technology to do that. I was just talking to Steve literally just then about they're rolling out activity-based working inside their organization. So now people don't have a desk. We had this, I came from Microsoft Australia. We had this in our office in Sydney where we had four floors. We moved to activity-based working because obviously we have Skype and mobile devices and tablets and we can work from anywhere we want. And our managing director, Pip, has this belief and philosophy is work is something you do, not somewhere you go. And we see that a lot more in our customers today are giving their employees freedom to work from home. They travel a lot more. And again, allowing technology to connect that together. And so because of that, though, we need to make sure that teams can work together quickly and efficiently, and most importantly, on their own terms in the product that they want to use. And at the same time, it's a nice juggling act to give the IT guys, so the admins in the room here, the flexibility to be able to manage those in a single place, make it really easy to help them, allow them to do that. So, we all have probably done something in our work life that's around inefficient collaboration, whether it's, we're working on stuff and then we realize that someone else has done it, or, the left arm's not talking to the right. So, there's a real cost, and this is becoming more and more evident, again, as the world changes, and as we get impacted by this stuff, we need to be able to move faster, have faster feedback loops, be able to change direction and course correct very, very quickly. And so there's some real cost around not being agile and not being able to adapt to the way that the world around us and the way our customers and partners need us to work. The quality of work can also suffer greatly when we don't have all the information we need. So if I'm making decisions based on not having all the information, the quality of my work's going to suffer. So being able to work with people in my team, in my office, with my customers as quickly and easily as possible helps me do my work better and overall will improve the quality of my work. And then innovation is a big one too. So how, this is about that feedback loop I was talking about. How can we get feedback quicker on the work we're doing so when we can experiment inside our organization, get feedback from our team, from our peers, and even from our customers to make sure we're going in the right direction, where we can fail fast and then move to the course correct so we can adapt very, very quickly. And this also comes up in this, you know, I would love if we could have a single tool that would just fix all these problems for you. And I guess we have that in the suite, which is Office 365, but we know that one tool doesn't suit everybody. And I'm sure this is the same for you and myself. I'm in the Yammer team, so we use Yammer quite heavily, but we're also part of the Office, the Outlook marketing group. So I'm in lots of Outlook groups. I use Skype to run my meetings, do my calls, do my chat. We have SharePoint to store our files and OneDrive to work on documents and share documents. People are using these tools all the time. And we're seeing, again, from your end user perspective, they want to be able to pick the tools that, that help them get their job done really quickly, really easily, little fast, little friction. And so if we don't provide them those tools, they're going to go outside our ecosystem and your ecosystem to stuff that's unmanaged. And it actually is creating more silos inside your organization as opposed to having them part of what you're already working on. So Microsoft's vision for collaboration, particularly in Office 365, as it stands today, is really to give, again, allow users to create a group or a team or a project or a collaboration space wherever they want, on whatever device they want as quickly as possible and pull those people together to get that specific task, project, or thing done. And so you can see we have solutions. Obviously, email scheduling is Outlook and calendar, that type of thing. We've got SharePoint that can do document creation, storage, sharing. It's world-class leading that, and there's been a lot of improvement around that, as you've seen over this week and the last 6 months. We've got, obviously, Skype that does both the calling, video calls, telephony, the meetings, the real-time chat, and again, I'm sure we all use that today. And then, obviously, the last one here is this social collaboration. So this is Yammer, where we can really connect people, whether they're in your team or connect teams together or connect people from completely different parts of the organization that have never, maybe don't even know each other. And so this is the state of play today where we're at. There's going to be more stuff coming, but I guess what we're trying to get to is here is, again, allowing the end user to pick any of these tools that they want, anything that's going to help them get their job done faster and better, because at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants to do. They want to be the best they can in their job. But again, you can see all these are backed by this common infrastructure. So we have this idea of groups, so Office 365 groups, which gives all these apps a common identity and security. And I'll show you stuff when you create a group in, say, Outlook, it's going to go and spin up a SharePoint site, a planner, an Outlook calendar, those type of things. But you're going to start to see that happening with other products as well. So this week in Yammer, we announced that we're also integrating with Office 365 groups. So if the team decides that they want to work in Yammer in a more open and social environment, they will now also get the same benefits of what the Office 365 group service provides, which is a SharePoint for every Yammer group, a document library for every Yammer group, a planner, a OneNote, et cetera, et cetera. And so the other thing is, you know, we talk about letting people use the tools they want, and that's great, and we have a single place to manage them around groups and security, that type of thing. But how do we tie that together? And that's where the Office Graph comes in, which is really, really important. And again, some of the stuff we've seen this week around AI and bots and that type of things really going to start to do some exciting stuff when we think about how the graph ties that together. So whether Steve decides to work in Outlook and SharePoint, and I'm in Yammer and Skype, the graph will pull those things together, and we have products like Delve today that give us the window into that graph so I can easily discover what Steve's doing and what I'm doing and where we cross over and we have, you know, common projects and colleagues. But we're also going to start to see from within the products, for example, in Yammer, if you've got a Yammer group, you know, you're going to start to see trending files for that group maybe inside SharePoint or events that affect those group members from Outlook calendar. So you'll start to see these apps. You know, you can see it today in OneDrive with recent files and frequently used files, pulling from the graph and those type of things. So really having, giving the flexibility of users to choose their own tools, giving IT a really simple and robust way to manage those people and groups and application access, and then tying that all together with the graph. And obviously, you know, with Microsoft, you get the security and trust that you would expect with an enterprise solution. So what I want to do quickly now is just jump in. For those of you who haven't seen Outlook groups or Yammer groups and allowing different teams to work different ways, I'm just going to show that quickly. And then there are a lot of other sessions this week that are really drilled down, and today's a lot more. So Christoph did a great session with Amit on Tuesday morning, and they went deep dive into the roadmap and vision and showed how groups is evolving in Outlook. There's some really cool stuff there. There was the Yammer vision and roadmap on Monday where we touched on this. There's actually a session at 12:30 today where we're going to go really deep dive into the Yammer and Alphas 365 group integration and how that works. So I won't go too far, but I just want to quickly show you, I guess, how it works and why we're giving people the choice of which tool that they want to use for a specific task. Okay, so very, very quickly. So this is OWA. So the Outlook web app, which I actually use almost exclusively. But again, you can do this in the Outlook client. Again, the power of groups at Office 365 is anybody can create them, at least by default. Obviously, you can manage that if you want. So anyone inside your organization can say, hey, I need to spin up a group around this specific project or task or whatever it is. So it's really, really simple to do. They come into groups, they click create, they can give it a name. Let's say Hack Day 2016. They can give it a description. And then, again, you can choose public or private, set the language create. And then as we're doing this, what this is actually happening is in Azure Active Directory, it's creating an object there. It's going to assign all the people I add to this group. So we'll have Anne, Garth. I know Alex is a mad hacker. We'll add Alex in there. So as this group is creating, what's happening is it's creating an object in Active Directory, and then it's going to spin up a bunch of shared resources for that group. So every single Office 365 group gets a SharePoint calendar, an Outlook calendar, a SharePoint team site, a SharePoint document library, a OneNote, the planner tool that got launched, and a few other things. So very, very simple. I'm not going to go into a huge amount of demonstration of this. Again, there's lots of other sessions this week that talk about that. But you can see the conversation that powers an Office 365 group in Outlook is really this enhanced distributionless email style conversation. So it's a huge improvement on what distributionless used to be. There's now some really simple social interactions on there, so at mentions, likes. I think they have hashtags now. And you can see here examples of how that conversation would work. Great for people who, you know, want to prefer to work in Outlook. Maybe it needs to be a more private, secured lockdown group. Maybe it's something that's restricted. Maybe you need more sort of type compliance around DLP, e-discovery, that type of thing. We have customers, for example, education, that maybe can't have teachers and students in the same Yammer group, so instead they're using Outlook groups. And I'm sure Steve can tell us about what their requirements are. But again, you can see every group in Outlook, you know, gets a calendar, it gets files, it gets a OneNote. I don't own this one, have it, but it gets now a team site, which I'm sure you saw this week demoed many, many times. So again, you get all the power of Office 365, a single group of users that you can now assign access to different things. This group now exists in the GAL, so you can message it from whether you're in Word or Excel or OneDrive, share it with that, and we'll also provision to that. So that's a very, very simple groups in Outlook one, and again, highly recommend you check the other sessions. Similar process would happen in Yammer. So if I decide for my team or project, I would rather choose a more open, social, collaborative tool. Maybe I don't know, maybe the project I'm working on can be public and can be open and will benefit other people from seeing the way we work, working out loud inside Yammer. So I can come into Yammer and create a new group here. And I can give it a name saying, and then again, very similar, I can choose the members. So we'll get Alex and Garth back in here. Oops. Maybe Anne. Okay, again, get the choice of public and private. I can create this group. And exactly what happened in the Outlook example, this is actually going now to go and create a group in Active Directory, add those members into that group, and then go and provision a bunch of shared services that this group can access. So again, it's going to create a SharePoint document library, a SharePoint team site, a planner, and a OneNote. Now, very soon, I'll show you one that we created earlier that has a bit more content. So you can see here on the right, this group now has access to all these things. Later this year, we'll be adding calendar to this as well, so you'll be able to create events inside a Yammer group. But again, all the power and benefit of Office 365. This group, again, exists in the GAL, so you can address it and assign permissions and remove permissions from it. Whether you're the group admin in Yammer or you're the IT admin in Office 365, and you can do it from the back end. And so just to quickly show that example, when you come into the admin and into the group section, you'll see that this now contains groups from wherever they're created inside your organization. So whether it's an Outlook or Yammer or SharePoint or Planner, wherever it is, you can now, from an IT perspective, manage all those groups from a single location, which again is something quite powerful. So you can see, for example, After Hours is actually a group that was created in Yammer that spun up an Office 365 thing. So with that, I will hand it back to Steve, because so that's the Microsoft vision and how we think we want to work, but we want to now share, I guess, how Marks and Spencer have put this into practice in real life.
Cool. Thanks, Angus. So hopefully they'll match the two stories. I guess that's the plan. So just before, I'll just click on through this. Okay, so I work for Marks and Spencer. For those of you who haven't heard of us, we're not really here in the US. We're a leading UK retailer. We sell high quality, great value, own brand, food, clothing, and home products. We have 900 stores across the UK, just over 900 stores, and a further 400 stores worldwide. We sell through our, obviously through our stores. We have a major online investment as well, and we sell an awful lot of products through our website. Now, just to let you know, we have just launched a sale, 50%, up to 50% off. It does ship to the US, so please go and buy some of our products. They're very good.
I think that's breaking some kind of policy where we can't advertise. Oh, sorry.
Hey, it's my company. I don't care. In terms of our scale, we've got 83,000 staff across the company. Most of those are our store and distribution center colleagues who are very much kiosk workers. They know they're not sat in front of a PC all day. They're moving around the shop floors, moving around our warehouses, doing that type of work. We've then got about 7,000 people who are probably fit more of your traditional knowledge worker category. They're the people in our offices who design products, who merchandise our ranges, who do our HR, our IT, all of those kind of functions. So to give you a little bit of our story, we did Office 365, or we started Office 365 doing email back in 2012. We moved all the company onto there, really just as a replacement for a really out-of-date old Exchange 2003 server. When it came through to 2013, our company had a new strategy, or had some new kind of key themes, and one of these was that we should be more in touch. And this was to be more in touch with our customers, more in touch with our staff, more in touch with fashions and styles. And as part of that, one of our directors posed a question to the business. We had this sort of employee suggestion scheme, which was, how can we be more in touch between our offices and our store staff? And the winning suggestion, well, the suggestions that, you know, they get filled out in bits of paper back then, and then there were Excel sheets created, and eventually it all bubbled up. And the winning one was, we should have a social network, which fixed the process for the next time we did that thing as well. So, being in IT, I got the job, okay, how do we do this? We already had people using Yammer sort of virally without any kind of endorsement for us. I must say, from an IT pro point of view, that's one of the easiest projects I ever did. It took us 4 weeks start to finish, because we'd already did all the authentication was already there from an email point of view. We were just really turning on the Yammer features. There were some complications with handling users without email. Our store staff, we don't give email accounts to. We got it all in there, and then the service just started to grow. I think we followed quite a lot of the good advice that we got from people like the Yammer experts about teaching people and showing stuff. You know, we had a lot of frustration at the start about how many posts went into the all-company feed. But it just seemed to naturally fix itself. It reached this sort of tipping point where users realized that's not going to work anymore, and suddenly groups started organizing themselves. So I'd like to think it was our great activity that made that happen. I think it just, you hit this point and the network evolves. So we're now pretty big. So we've got over 20,000 monthly engaged users of 45,000 total. We don't tell people they have to use this service. It's not a requirement for them to do it. It's a choice for people to do that. Some of those staff are on relatively short-term contracts. They may only work a few shifts for us in strange hours of the day for them. So it's kind of fine. But we've got this now, this really quite active core of people who are regularly contributing to that. The number of messages, 1.8 million messages in total now. Not long. I'm looking forward to hitting 2 million. We were a bit jealous when we saw BA did a big news story about hitting 1 million messages and then rechecked and we'd done 1.1 already and hadn't noticed. So we're going to keep our eye out for the 2 million one. And I think in general, our approach with Yammer, again, we're a small IT function. We don't manage that environment actively. You know, we are there to help and guide people, but people create their own groups. You know, one thing we notice very clearly is that you can't predict the groups that are going to succeed. Typically, it seems to be the groups with the craziest names that have the most impact. The ones that look kind of formal and structured, they tend to be the ones that sort of, well, someone's sort of management idea rather than really driven from the ground up. We also talk quite a lot in stories, so I wanted to share with you a couple of examples of the value that our company gets out of that Yammer environment. So, for example, we sell a lot of school uniforms. In the UK, it's still very much the norm that kids in school, both in junior and senior school, have a prescribed uniform, jumpers, trousers, shirts, all of that kind of stuff. It's still really like Harry Potter still in the UK. Obviously, these change. You know, the local shops, so the local schools around each shop, don't all just stick with the same uniform years after years. They change them, they iterate them. What we now have is we have a really active group for kidswear, where our staff who work out there can come and tell us, or tell our merchandising team, if things have changed, or what types of colors they might need, what styles, or things like that. So we get this much better sort of crowdsourced route of getting accurate information to get the right products in the store. When you've got 83,000 mums, dads, brothers, cousins, uncles, sisters, we've probably got the whole of the country covered really easily. That data is far more accurate coming from that source. It means our merchandising team work really well to listen to that and to adapt and adjust exactly what we've got to try and get the best thing. And again, that goes back to one of our core principles is that, you know, we want to delight our customers. We have a phrase called making every moment special for our customers. If you don't have a product, the right thing they want in stock, they can't trade and pick something different. You have to have the right products there, and that's really accurate and really important. The other one I want to tell you about is the story of a customer who came into our store in Glasgow, and she explained that her son, who was receiving treatment for cancer, had this stripy monkey toy that he'd taken everywhere with him. It had been bought from Marks & Spencer's about 3 years before, but now somewhere in the chaos that is their sort of everyday life, it had gone missing, and this was creating a huge issue, and this was terribly upsetting. The member of staff there checked all of our stock systems, and you know, things like that just don't keep around for that amount of time. It was clearly sold through a long time ago. But she didn't give up, and she posted a message in Yammer to the whole company saying, explaining the story. She shared some pictures that the customer had provided her with and explained this to people. Over that night, more and more people across the company picked that up and started talking about it. Some people started looking on eBay and they were finding whether there was things available there. We had someone whose son had volunteered to give up his one to go and to donate that instead. But then eventually a colleague in Barrow by the next day noticed this and had this sort of vague memory that we had one of those in a raffle prize that never got collected somewhere and went off investigating, found it. There's the monkey, you can see it there on the picture. She had that available for them. What they then did, being the kind of wonderful people that we have in Marks & Spencer, they concocted this whole comic story about where the monkey had been. They took it round all the sights and scenes of Barrow in Cumbria. I didn't know there were as many as they came up with. And then put it all together with loads of sort of holiday gifts and stuff like that. It got sent to Glasgow, given back to the customer, obviously was delighted. We got back the customer provided pictures of their son being incredibly happy with this. I think the point around that is, while Yammer allowed our staff to do something great for this particular customer, and you know, that's really, really impressive, it also happened in the open, so we all saw it. I mean, that thread had hundreds and hundreds of likes on it. It had people chipping in, everyone was, you know, it created a real mood inside the company. So individually, you know, Yammer might help people, but it really amplifies that value for us inside Marks & Spencer. That story is now one that we use when we're training and inducting new members of staff. So we ran a campaign, we created did a VT with all the people involved with it and explained exactly what happened, because that's what we see. Now, when you're in a big service organization like a retailer, you're trying to create a culture between this 80,000 people who are spread out in all these different parts of the country. And Yammer is just a really great way of getting people lined up on that. In terms of Outlook groups, so we implemented Outlook groups last year. I think it's fair to say that we did have a slight hesitation. We were like, does this overlap with what we're doing with Yammer? Is this kind of sort of different? But you know, I spoke to some of the guys at Microsoft, and fundamentally, when you look at it, although we're doing great with Yammer and we're really happy with it, we hadn't replaced email. We still had distribution lists. We still had shared mailboxes. These were not a good thing inside Marks & Spencer. We had thousands of them, and they were very poorly organized, very admin-heavy for doing creating, putting in people into DLs. So, well, actually, here's a nice, simple way of making that self-service. So we turned it on, we trained people, we explained, showed it to people, told them how to use it, and it's really taken off. So we've now got 900 groups. I'm looking forward to these new features around expiring groups coming through and soft delete, because I know quite a lot of those I can tidy up still. We explain it as being the team version of OneDrive. We've implemented OneDrive for people's personal files, and this is the step up from that when it's not your own file. And you know, we see it, we don't provide DLs anymore, and we're going to start next year starting actually getting rid of DLs and getting rid of shared mailboxes. And we think they will split. Know, really big DLs that maybe for the whole business unit really ought to go into Yammer. Seeing some of the new stuff coming through from Yammer, that looks great now, so we can push that content that way. For the smaller stuff, yeah, groups is already a better system. We just need to help people get over onto it. Some examples of where people use it. It's the service that, when I look at our usage, it's the most widespread across our organization I've ever seen in such a small amount of time. So the people who are using it from all different corners of our, typically our office environment. That includes our international partners, so you know, our colleagues in India. We've got a shared service center in Manchester. And I can just see lots and lots of different business units, much more than I've seen for quite a long time before in other areas using it. One example that someone shared with me recently is they were running an RFP process to make a new purchase. What they'd done is there were quite a few people involved in this process, and quite a lot of them were going on holiday at different times. So they issued their RFP and said submissions back to the group email address, and I made sure that they ticked on the allow external people to send messages into it. So they got all the RFP responses back in. One person went through, opened up the RFP responses, printed them to the group's OneNote. They then all used the OneNote when they were reviewing the RFP, highlighting bits, using it during the presentation sessions. The benefit to them, it was all just in one place. They didn't need to have who's got which message, who's which where. Everything to that RFP was in that one group. And that's very much a new style that we find that we're doing, is that rather than people doing filing, you create a group and just copy the group and every message related to that project or that topic. So it becomes this sort of natural team group filing and everyone being kind of catched up on the same page. The usage is different to Yammer. It doesn't overlap. I don't get asked strong questions about should we use Yammer or should we use groups? It's fairly normal, it's fairly natural. People know which way their time are heading to. So then finally, I was just gonna share some of our key principles or our key ideas of how we're doing stuff at the moment through Office 365. We do everything self-service. I don't have the size of IT group that I can afford to do lots of manual work on stuff, and it's not what my users want. So when I do groups, yep, that automatically, you press it happens. That's why I really care about these self-service features like clearing up and stuff like that as well, because I have to just make it entirely immediate for users. We've got a great team that we call our early adopters. These are people who have volunteered across the business to receive things first. And what we do is we enroll them into first release for select users. We give them earlier access to Office 2016 updates, and we talk to them. And I have a small group. We really actively maintain those guys. So if they do get issues, they know they can come and tell us. We find it a great way of getting feedback. We use a Yammer group. That's how we all communicate through those early adopters, because they're spread across the business. And so when I get something new, so Planner at the moment, we're just in the final stages of validating through that. I can have 200-odd people have tested that. I can then go to my change board and say, look, it's all been done. it's sorted out. We collect stories. I've shared some of them with you today. We find that far more powerful way of explaining or telling our users what's going on. We do collect metrics from the services. We create graphs and stuff like that. That's really more for me reporting up within IT management to show how utilization and adoption is going. Our approach is very much being guidance and advice to our users. We have very few regulations. We have a thing that we call a connect bar, which is where staff can turn up and just ask questions. So it's a bit like a retail, an IT retail, so like a Microsoft store or that thing. That works really well, having someone that people know they can go down to. So if they get a little bit confused or this isn't very familiar to them, they know they can pop downstairs. There's a guy there that already knows all this stuff, and he's sort of coaching them forward on it. We control when we make adoption material available to people. So we don't, although Microsoft turn on these great new features, our standing rule is to turn them off, get ready, validate it. I need to get some agreement internally before I'm allowed to do stuff. And then we turn on the feature for everyone to use. So we have a very controlled release plan there. We can then link that in with news stories on our company homepage. We can make sure we've got training videos created. We tend to do little short 30-minute drop-in training sessions at our Connect Bar so people can come and learn about stuff there as well. And then even after we've introduced it, keep doing the stories, keep reinforcing to people that you know what this service is for, what's going to just keep the kind of the ball going. So with that, so that's the end of what I had prepared. Do you want to do some questions?
Yeah, we could do questions. So I have some swag bribe here. We've got some water bottles and T-shirts and cable bags. But I hope that made sense. I think, again, I got asked a lot this week, and I have been as part of Microsoft and in Office 365 with Yammer and Outlook. There's a lot of confusion, I think, out there around which tool are we supposed to roll out, and I hope it makes sense to you where we're giving those users the choice and giving you guys the tools you need to manage. And I think what Stephen's just shared with us is a great example of that, and it sounded like it was really easy too.
Yeah, I think my observation on that is that it's typically IT pros, architects who have that really tell me what box does these things fit in. When you actually show it to users, it makes much more sense, or they don't care as much. You know, one of the things that, if we do get asked, is should I use groups, they're like, well, try this. If it doesn't work out, try the other. It doesn't matter. Now, particularly as Yammer is now getting all of these new group functionality as well, that's become even less of a matter between the two. I've been in conversations with colleagues who really want a precise flow chart to tell them exactly what the right answer is to each question, and then there isn't really one.
And if you do, is this a slide? If you do want some help, obviously we have the Fast Track Center, which has a ton of great adoption material, training material, stuff out there that you can download. It's all available. It's all free. You can get, there's a productivity library on there, which gives you examples of different use cases and where you might want to use these different tools. But I think, as Stephen said, I think just get in there and use them and see what makes sense, and allow, and, empower your employees knowing that you guys can manage what they're doing in the back end at any point in time. So with that said, if you have questions, please come to the microphone because they're being recorded. Got one there?
Hi, I just had a real quick question about your executives adopting this. So what was the key thing that you got your executives to adopt Yammer in particular?
So it was quite hard getting the executives on board with it. I think, to be honest, with Yammer, they hung back quite a while to see it actually being successful before they got involved, which was a little bit frustrating for us, perhaps. But once they could see the mass of what was happening, then our previous chief exec got involved. We now reached the stage where recently at a employee conference, talking about our new customer at the heart strategy, the chief exec's final slide just had Marks and Spencer, a Yammer logo, and customer at the heart. So we've reached the point where everyone's just confident enough, you just need the logo and the words, and you don't need to mention join the group or start the conversation. So it takes a while to get that. I think that they aren't, they want to see success before they really commit towards it. Hi.
So with an Office 365 group, you have, you get a Yammer group too, right? So you can email, or you can talk in the Yammer conversation. You've got the file capability in Yammer, and then you've also got the SharePoint. Is there a risk then people are going to have a hard time seeing conversations if they're not looking in the right place? So if I'm expecting it in email and somebody posts it in Yammer, or if a document is in Yammer but I was looking for it in SharePoint, is there some risk?
So that's a great question. And in fact, so let me just clarify something. So there are two types of conversations, but a group can't have both. It's either a group in Outlook or it's a group in Yammer. So the conversation is only one or the other for that exact reason. So if you have one with two, if you have people who work in email and people who work in Yammer, those two don't come together. So the way we determine that today is basically where the group is created. So if you create the group in Yammer, you get the Yammer conversation plus all the stuff around it. If you create it in Outlook, you get the Outlook DL type style conversation plus all the stuff around it. Today, if you create groups outside of those two things, like in SharePoint or Planner, just by default, you get an Outlook group, but soon you'll be able to like choose as you create those groups which one. The question on files is again, a really good one, and we'll go much deeper in that in the Yammer session at 12:30, but the answer today is it is a little bit mixed, but our path moving forward is all Yammer file storage will be on SharePoint. Like, we don't want to. Yammer should concentrate on the conversation and the social piece and leave the rest to SharePoint, calendars, that type of stuff.
And I think, you know, as an IT pro, that's really important. So we get away from having slightly different services. We can just do one set of DLP rules, all of that kind of security, and it'll apply equally whether it's a Yammer group or an Outlook group.
So I have a quick question here. So this Yammer integration with Outlook and Skype, is it available default or we have to do some, you know, changes in the background? This is my first question. The second question is on Yammer, we have a feature called as, you know, Online Now. So I think it behaves very similar to, you know, Skype. It is a chatting platform. So is there a scope for, you know, Online Now feature in future?
Yeah, I can answer that. Sorry, I didn't quite catch your first question, but I can answer your second one straight away. So in Yammer today, there's this Online Now, which is the real-time chat in the bottom. So in the roadmap session on Monday, we announced we are planning to remove that, and we want to move all real-time conversations to Skype for Business. And so it's in our roadmap presentation. You can watch that. So the idea being presence will come through from Skype now. We won't have our own Yammer presence. Again, Yammer just wants to focus on that pure, the social conversation, make that a really, really great experience for users, and then pull in the best, you know, file share from SharePoint, chat from Skype, video from Skype. So you'll see experiences where there'll be four people on a conversation. In Yammer, you can click a button and start a video chat with those four people. So that one's it. And what was your first question again? Sorry, I missed that one.
Yeah, the integration with Outlook and Skype, it's available by default, or you know, we have to do some change in the background?
Do you know that one? Outlook and Skype, I don't think there's anything.
You just install the two clients. As long as you have them both installed, then your Outlook app gets lit up with all the presence indicators and hover cards to jump and fire stuff over into the Skype app.
I don't think there's any deeper integration at this stage.
Yeah,
anyway.
Once we have the Office 365 subscription, we have all things in place. That's right.
Yeah, so you get all of those kind of things. I mean, Skype is, there's quite a lot to Skype, and you'll find lots of sessions around here explaining how to do all the features of Skype. It's a great product in its own right. We're just starting a project to replace our whole head office telephony with Skype. So, you know, by next year's Ignite, I might be able to come and tell you about how well that went. But it's a great product, and it glues very nicely into all these bits. And it's got integration with Yammer coming really soon.
Thank you.
Hi. My question is a little bit more about the long-term strategy of managing the groups. We found in the past that people are really gung-ho on doing something, and then you have all these groups created, adoption's great, but then over time, you get so many that people become frustrated, you have a lot that get abandoned. How are you planning to manage that?
So I think from our perspective, so it's a concern. When I mentioned we've got 900 groups now, that's not 900 active groups, that's 900 things got created, they may get used for an amount of time, and we really need a strategy around how we retire them and how we take them away. Now, that's something I've been looking for here. So I've been to some great sessions learning about the new archiving capabilities that are coming through. They look really sweet. They're really simple and straightforward, so I can be confident that I preserve that data for as long as I need it to be done. And then combine that with the stuff that the groups team, Eric Zenn's presentation earlier in the week, showed how they're going to do an expiry message if your group hasn't been used for an amount of time, if someone doesn't ratify that it still exists, they'll delete it automatically for you. They have soft undeletes. You can bring it back again if they'd just forgotten to do it. So we've got quite used to waiting and trusting that Microsoft are going to figure this stuff out. Sometimes you do, particularly when you do something quite early, some of the gaps aren't quite there, but you know, all of us customers are all feeding the same stuff into Microsoft, and they tend to get there in the end. So yeah, there's a bit of an act of faith as well in that. Thank you.
Hi. I have a question regarding how you train on this. Is this part of like your employee orientation where you say, here's our collaboration options groups or Yammer, and you explain to them how that works? Or do you like say, go watch these videos, then go create your group? How do you approach that so that people understand the difference between the two?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways. So across my store estate, where obviously there aren't IT people in every store, they join Yammer, and then we have how to use Yammer guides inside Yammer. So you know, we post videos, we post documents, step-by-step instructions, but largely they figure it out themselves. It's not that complicated. It's nice to have a document for those awkward people who want to have, show me how I do it step-by-step, so we have that, but that's about all we have there. For my office users, as they join the company, we have an induction process. We explain to them how the Connect Bar works and how the services that we have there. They can then, that gives them an overview. They can then come pop in half-hour session to learn about groups or OneDrive or Skype or any of the other features that we offer as well. And that's a really effective way of getting them up to speed. We have backed that up. We have e-learning material that we've created as well, just office mixes and sways we kind of put together for them as well. To be honest, it's the personal touch that is most effective there than the online content.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Questions about Yammer groups and creating them. We currently turned off the ability to create groups in our tenant. So what will happen if someone wants to create a Yammer group in the future and it's going to automatically try to create a group? Will we not be able to create new ones?
No. So if you've turned off Office 365 group creation, then you'll just get just a Yammer group. It just won't be connected. So it'll be still managed the same way.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Hi.
Will Yammer continue as a separate product, or do you foresee it being merged with the groups?
No, I think it'll definitely be. It's always going to be a separate product. It's one of the five core services of Office 365, including Skype, Exchange, SharePoint, Yammer.
Because I've heard some rumblings that eventually they
absolutely
may.
Trust me. I'm in marketing. I've heard the same rumblings. But I think if you watch the roadmap session that we did on Monday, it really articulates what we're doing. We've got a 12-month plan. Our growth is growing, literally it's growing quicker than we ever have. We're growing more users. We're completely integrated off Office 365 now, so almost all our new users come from people coming through Office 365. We're investing in new headcount. We're growing our employee base. So there's no real risk of it going away.
I think as well, I mean, Yammer is one of those rare products that have turned into a verb. Skype, Yammer, Outlook never did that. You never say, I'm going to Outlook you something. That would be weird, wouldn't it? People talk about, yeah, I'll Yammer you that. It's a really strong brand, and it's a really strong product set, and it would be insane if Microsoft did anything to dent that reputation that's so hard fought to give you one.
Yeah, I think the last, I'd been at Yammer for 5 years, so before the acquisition. I think the last probably 18 months or 2 years, we spent a lot of time doing back-end integration. So, before we got acquired, we had our own way to manage users, our own way to store files, our own way to do chat. And so we've been really trying to align that into Office 365. That sort of culminated in January this year when we went on by default, and now every single Office 365 tenant lights up. So we're really now at the beginning where we can start to add the end user value. And that's, evident now in the groups integration, the Skype one that's going to be coming soon. And you're going to see much, much faster integration now with those services. Now that back-end foundation's done, you're going to see calendar by the end of the year, lots and lots of cool stuff coming. So it's in no danger of going away.
Okay, thank you.
No worries.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. So my question is more on the governance guidance sort of thing. I mean, we don't have any governance now, so I think the opinion is that we need it. We need to really sort of lock everything down, make everything protected. What sort of things did you run into kind of not having governance?
Surprisingly little.
Really?
I think we worried about it quite a lot.
That's,
we worried about, particularly with, you know, introducing Yammer to, you know, the majority of those staff had never had an individual voice inside the company in the moment. Would there be chaos thing? Now, I think at the start, now maybe we were fortunate, but we really quickly became they became a culturally accepted norm of how you conversed in there. We didn't do a lot to do that. We provided some guidance, and we've had some very tiny amount, you know, very occasional instance, but very, very few.
And you just, like, contact that person and say, hey, that's not...
Yeah, the subtler you can do it, the better, because, yeah. You know, Yammer, you know, as I said, it got started by an employee suggestion. It's very much owned by our employees rather than by us as an IT department. So we do very much allow them to use it as the way they want to. And I think if we stopped them, I think they'd just stop using it.
Thank you.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Okay, I think we're out of time there, so we'll wrap up, but we can hang around and answer some questions after this as well. Thanks,
thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Steve.